Hey, this is the last shiur of the special series on Sundays of Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. The women's shiur, Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. I'm not starting yet. So I just decided... I just decided no. There will not be shiur the Wednesday after Simchas Torah. We'll start again Sunday afterwards. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, we're doing, I hope this is not the way we usually learn Chovas Halvavos. I'm not sure. We're going to go through the remaining, hopefully. I doubt it that we'll get to all the remaining ones. But we'll go through, the Chovas Halvavos is telling us things to think about, things to ponder. And again, his Hakdama to the whole Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, which he defines as just being to think and not to consider things. We're rational beings, and he wants us to not to do things by rote and not to do things automatically and not to reject things by rote and not to accept things by rote, but he wants us to think about things and thus become closer to Hashem. That's really the point of the whole Sefer Chovas Halvavos, is that the primary service of Hashem is in the lathe, as essential as what he calls Chovas HaEvarim is, and he doesn't hold back any punches in saying how essential it is, and every movement or every person or every sect that has ever tried to serve Hashem without Chovas HaEvarim has ended up in oblivion and ended up, it just peters out, and that's part of the wisdom of the Torah. And Hashem made the world, and Hashem made people, and he made people in that way, that it's only through the medium of Maaseh that things become real and internalized and become a reality in this world. That in itself could be a subject for a class and a discussion, almost a philosophical discussion, of this being the Olam HaMaaseh and so on and so forth. But Al Kaponim, the Chovas Halvavos brings us back, and he was faced with this problem in that as we are makbid on Dikduka Shel Halacha, and we're makbid on every dot, and we're makbid on every, you know, a man, let's say, is mugbol by Zman Kriyashma, and if he misses it by a minute, so he's not Yotze Kriyashma. And if you have a little less than a shir chala for a woman, right, so you don't take chala, you take chala without a bracha. And if the mezuzah is missing a dot, or, you know, a little piece of the yud, so it's pasul. So as much, what happens though is that after many years and perhaps centuries of focusing on that, he found that Klal Yisrael was losing sight of what he calls explicitly many times throughout the Sefer the essential service of Hashem, which is in the lathe, and that's why he wrote his Sefer. So the Sefer is very structured, as we said many times, it's built like a building, and we're up to Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, where he says think about things. You don't always have to be plugged into to whatever is at the other end of those things coming out of your ears. You could think. So we're up to number 12. He gives you 30 things to think about, and he says himself this is the tip of the iceberg. You can think about all sorts of things. These are like 30 basic principles what to think about. So we'll just go through them as quickly as we can. Normally when we learn Chovas Halvavos, I was talking to some women, and In order to entice you to keep coming to the shiur, maybe it will be a little less text-based in the sense that now we sit with a text and we learn it, and maybe I will still be learning the text, but maybe we'll move away from it being so text-based, and I'll be going over the text quickly, and we'll be talking about the ideas more as if it's just like a lecture about what the Chovetz Chabad is saying, and this way it'll maybe be more appealing. See, I'm also falling victim to trying to appeal to the audience. That's terrible. I have to do tshuva now. I am giving shir the way I'm giving shir, and you have to relate to it. That's all. No, you have to give the people what they want. User-friendly is the password. And we will cover more ground. So we'll be going quicker. And not as quick as today, though. This is mamish an anomaly. I want to get to some points. You can take notes, not take notes. Think about it. He wants us to take a walk and to think. Or to, you know, if I'm talking to women, so I'll say when we're doing housework, you know, think. There's plenty of things to think about. It's marvelously liberating to be able to think. And that's the key. That's a key value in the Chovetz Chabad, because then you engage your mind and your heart and your soul, and what do I really believe? And do I really believe that Hashem X, Y, Z, and he doesn't want us to be scared of such a question. He wants us to confront it and to see if we do, and if we don't, he wants us to ask questions. He wants us to search for truth. He's trusting us. He's trusting us to search for truth. If a person has an agenda and doesn't care about the truth and just wants to have a pleasant life, pleasant the way a human being considers pleasant, like an animal, please forgive me, like an animal considers things pleasant. You know, you feel good and your belly's full and you're well taken care of, but we have a neshama. A person has a neshama. Okay, so we're not going to go as fast as we are today, but we'll continue. The shiur will go back to Sundays at 12:15 to 1, as Wednesdays also, and Sundays will continue Shar HaBechina, and Wednesdays will continue Shar Yichud HaMaisa. So try it, you like it, as the saying goes. Ah, I'm still an American, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so number 12 we're up to, and number 12 is, he really says, you know, stop and think where your creativity and your excitement and your exuberance and your passion lies. And again, he's addressing, he says, does it lie in Olam Hazeh? Does it lie? Again, I always feel very awkward talking to women whose Olam Hazeh is much more automatically Olam Haba than a man's is. Although it's, Chovetz Chabad himself always tells us, just think the right thoughts and you'll turn every piece of Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But in number 12, he says, you know, do you think, where's your passion? Where's your creativity? Do you think, how can I serve Hashem better? Or do you think Olam Hazeh thoughts? And again, if your Olam Hazeh can be easily transformed into Olam Haba by saying, this is what Hashem wants me to do, then certainly any, let's say a man, I'll talk about a man, is let's say, supposed to support his family. So he wants to know, you know, where is the person's mind always on his job and always thinking how he could be better at his job, how he can do a better job, and but he's not thinking how he can daven better. Like, he doesn't, that's not in his mind. That's not where his passion lies. That's number 12. Like, think about that. Think about why your passion doesn't lie in serving Hashem. Certainly your neshama is as important as your guf, and you're taking care of goof things, you're taking care of temporal things, and if you think about it, it's like a little embarrassing, he says, that you're so busy with your goof and things that are temporal and things that are not really chashuv and things that are, well, here today, gone tomorrow, and that's where you're focused on. And you know, again, you know where there's a sale and in 3 minutes, everybody knew that LL tickets are on sale. Yeah. to Israel, and it flew around the world, right? But how about that there's Aseres Yemei Tshuva? That sounds funny, but Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzah, oh, that's also a sale, and it's on sale for 10 days, not for 4 hours. And that's what he's saying, that's what he's saying. And that we get very passionate about, and we call everybody we know to make sure that everybody hears about that, and things that are nogeya, the neshama, it's just, and you have to ask yourself, is it as real? Are we really in touch with our neshamas? If we would consider that the neshama is eternal, and the neshama is so much more chashuv than the guf, so that's something to think about and ask ourselves, where do our mental energies lie? Does it lie in figuring out how we could serve Hashem better, or does it lie in Olam Hazeh things? That's number 12. Number 13, is scary. He says, think about the kochos Hashem gave you, and think about if you're using your potential. That's number 13. Consider if you're using your potential. Now he says, I'll tell you a simple story. He loves stories, the Chavis al Bavis. He says, there was an Eved, and his Adon gave him seeds to sow in a field. And he gave him, I don't know, 100, whatever it is, 100 kilo, 10 kilo of seeds to sow. And he only sold 5. So the Adon comes to check up, and he says, but you didn't use all the seeds. What happened? He said, you know, whatever. I don't really have a good excuse. I was too lazy. I didn't feel like it. I didn't think I would have the energy to do it. So he says, not only will the Adon demand an accounting on the seeds that were unused, give it back to me. If you don't have it, pay me for it. But he's going to demand an accounting for what could have grown in the field. You caused me a hefsid because, forget about that, he didn't use the seeds. But look what, I could have had a much big field, right? So the Odon will demand payment. I'm not saying la halacha, you could. That's a different inyan. That's a choshen mishpat question. But you caused me a loss. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, now he gave each of us different things. So he gave everyone kochos, and he gave everyone what they have. Some people, everyone has different gifts from Hashem, beyond existing, even as a human being. But he gave us gifts. Everybody has different gifts. Chavis Halvada says, the problem is we're always looking at the other person. And we're saying, if I was only as smart as that person, then I would really be over Hashem properly. Or if I only had the money of the other person, I would be over Hashem properly. Or if I only had the house that they have. Or if I only had the menuchas nefesh. And everybody's looking at someone else, saying, and he even mocks them. He says, everybody's saying, Lu, and Ulai, and Efshar, and if I only had this, and if I only had that. He says, there's two ways people think that way. First of all, they say, you know, things are tough for me now. If I was only a little smarter, if I was only a little more creative, if I was only a little richer, if I was only a little whatever. As if you want something from Hashem and he should give it to you first, and then you'll decide if you're going to perform for him. But first, like, you go first. First he has to make it, as if Hashem, he says, has to make a deposit first, and after he makes a deposit, then you'll use the money he gave you, the seeds he gave you, you'll use it. He says, that's not the pshat. Or they look at the other person and they say, if only I had this one's gifts. And he says, Hashem gave you, you have to ask yourself, you're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on why didn't you use whatever gifts Hashem gave you, and how come you left it unused. And this is about fulfilling your potential. The point of number 13 is to make sure you fill your potential. And, you know, a person has, you have your whole life to do it. You don't have to do it today, and you don't have to do it tomorrow. But that's what we are given life for, and that's what we're given potential for, and make sure you're filling your potential. Then he just talks about two traps. First of all, a person could be lazy and not fulfill their potential. But he talks about two specific traps. One is looking at someone else and saying, if only I had that person's gifts, then I would really be Obed Hashem, and now look at me, I'm not as smart as this one, I'm not as whatever. And or you want something from Hashem first without looking at the other person. He says, don't fall into those traps. Make sure that you are ready to look Hashem in the face and then say, yeah, I used up all the seeds you gave me. Now, everybody here is thinking, I'll bet you. How do we know? How do we know? Like, no one's... It's a very nice story, but there was 110 kilo of seeds. I know 10, 5, 5 and 5 is 10, 10 minus 5 is 5. But, you know, I'm a regular person, and I do my best, and I, you know, how do I know? Like, it's pretty scary that when I have to give a din v'cheshbon on my actions, I'm worried about averus. Now you're like raising it to a whole new level. It's not averus. He's talking about averus. He said, did you use the potential that I gave you? I told you to serve me, and I gave this one intelligence, and this one creativity, and this one energy, and this one labor dictate, and, you know, all the gifts that every single person in this room has, a gift from Hashem, with which they're supposed to serve Hashem. Maybe it's a good voice. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's even people do things. So how do you know? That's what everybody in the room wants to know. And the answer is, I have no idea. So that's why the Yesod in life, as it sounds pathetic, but it's 100% true. And we saw this in Shar HaBitachon. Do your best. Do your best. And the Chanami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have tainus to you. You have to do your best. And that's why it's called Cheshbon HaNefesh, because you have to be introspective. You have to say, do I have talents? Do I have... It's not dafka talents. No one has to go out and write a poem tonight. Right? Not everybody is... what's your name there? Write poems, no? Write poems. Right? The energy just might be energy. Right? You have kolchos. So you make sure you serve Hashem with all your kolchos. He says, I'm saying... He doesn't talk about it. I'm saying, and we learned in Shabbat, you do your best. You taka don't know. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have tainus to you as long as you do your best. Now, if you'll ask me, how do I know I'm doing my best, Rabbi? So the answer to that is, you know. And that's why it's called Cheshbon HaNefesh. And that's why a person has to have the koach of introspection. And we said it many times in learning Chayvus Halvavus. If you don't have the ability to be introspective, you taka in big trouble. Taka. Unless you have a very good friend that's not going to have rachmanis on you, but is truly a good friend and is going to tell you, you should really, you could do so much more with your life. And more doesn't have to be, I don't know, you know, it doesn't have to be, oh, you could be davening three times a day instead of barely getting through Birchas HaShachar. It's not that. Chovos Halavavos. Sometimes it turns into a vorim, whether it's chesed or tzedakah or helping people. To a man, I'd say learning more. To a woman also, although you don't have the pressure. Halavai, the men had the pressure. Halavai, we felt the pressure. But you don't have the pressure of Talmud Torah. You don't have the problem of Bittul Torah. But you do have a responsibility to know Hashem. It's not a question of a man has to really answer for Bittul Torah, a woman doesn't, but a woman has to know Hashem. A woman has to learn Hashkafa or acquire it in whatever way she acquires it. Some people could be inspired through davening. Some people just can think about it and just do what the Chavis, think about these 30 things. Think about, wow, it's amazing that I'm alive. Thank you, Hashem. And you just sing to Hashem from your heart because you're alive and you exist. Whatever it is, you do your best. That's the answer to the question, how do I know that I'm not going, that I'm not planting only 50% of the seeds that I have? Number 14. Number 14, again, number 14 is, consider the following. If you have a friend, and the friend likes you, or loves you, and it doesn't have to be a friend, it could be a spouse, it could be a child, we know that the human being is wired to reciprocate love. It's, if someone loves me and cares about me, I respond. I respond in kind. Think about Hashem, he says. No one did more for you than Hashem. Think about how Hashem loves you. Hashem loves you. And therefore, you should feel it, and it should be so real to you that we would apply the famous pasuk in Mishlei, Kamayim aponim laponim, Kein lev ha'odom la'odom, and apply that to Hashem. Imagine if the most hush of a person that you could think of, maybe it's a rav, maybe it's a politician. That's not the point. The point is now to use it as a mashal to Hashem. This person befriended you and did favors for you and helped you and paid for your college education and paid your kids' tuition bill, did the laundry for you. Right? So you would oh my goodness, think that Hashem is doing all of that, and think that he brings down a lot of psukim, how the psukim talk about Hashem's love for us. It's not just a trite saying that we say, but it's in the psukim, Choshek Hashem Bochem, Vayivchai Bochem, Me'avas Hashem Eschem, and he loves us, and he loves us because he loved our forefathers. And if your father had a very, someone saved my father, Olav HaShalom's life in Europe and helped him get out of Europe, so I would be overflowing with gratitude and with love, and the person would be my friend also, and thank you. And that's we should think about it. We're not trained to think about how Hashem loved Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we are their direct descendants, we are their descendants spiritually, Lemaisa. We are their descendants, and we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We are tapping into the love that Hashem had for the Avos. This is number 14, to think about the love Hashem has for us, and to reciprocate, which is a normal, the normal, what I say, the human being is wired to do that. Number 15 is to consider the following. When you take a trip, so you all know, you make sure you have enough food for the trip. You make sure you have what you need for the journey. And maybe you have the games for the kids to play in the car. Or you make sure you're well stocked for your journey. He says, everybody's on the journey of life. And think of it that way. Think of it as a journey, and you have to make sure you're well stocked. And you don't know how long the journey will be or how short it would be. So you have to make sure that you're ready to arrive at the destination, and you have enough to get to the destination. The ultimate destination is Olam Haba. So you have to make sure you have enough tzedol aderech. And number 15 is to consider how you act when you have to get somewhere, and how you prepare for it, and you make sure that you have enough to get there, and then think about the journey that we're all in Olam Hazeh, and make sure we have what we need for that journey. Okay, this is very helpful to think that way. That's number 15. Number 16 sounds like the most depressing, morose, morbid. I said this yesterday, I tried to convey this in the Shabbos Shuvah Drush, or the second half of the afternoon one. It's very morbid, please forgive me, but he says, consider that people die all the time. Young people die, old people die, infants die, children die. No one's immune. It's not, it's Monday, it's an off day, no one's going to die on Monday. People die on Mondays. People die in the middle of the night, they die in the morning. And think about that and, you know, realize that, so I say, does the Chayvus HaLavus want us to be depressed? The whole Chayvus HaLavus talks about we should be happy and we should be joyful and we should be energized. And the answer is, and I tried to convey this yesterday, and this is what was conveyed in that book, actually. That it's a little counterintuitive, but it's mamish true. The more you confront the fact that, the more we confront our mortality, the more we realize how precious the present is. I once read this a science fiction book about people who didn't die. Science fiction, and years and years and years ago, I don't remember the name or anything. I just remember that nothing happened in the book. They led the most boring, pointless, absolutely terrible existence. No one did anything because you could do it tomorrow. No one accomplished anything because they just pushed it off. There was no sense of vitality. There was no. You don't do it today, you live tomorrow, no one's dying. And this is what this woman wrote in this book that I mentioned yesterday, that confronting mortality makes the present precious and makes you happy. I'm happy I'm alive. There are people, and you know, this is Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Normally, you don't stand in front of a group of people and say what I'm about to say. But I want to bring out what he's saying. There are a lot of people my age who are dead. A lot. And I have to be joyful, therefore, and thankful, and consider the preciousness of every moment that I'm alive. And I have to do something with it. And I can't just waste it. And thank you, Hashem. I'm alive. I can easily be dead. I'm not entitled to be alive. That's the pshat in Cheshbon number 16. Not to be morbid and depressed, but to be happy and to be machshiv the present. You machshiv the present if you realize that it could stop at any time. And I'm here. I'm here. I can do. Wow. What a gift. That's number 16. Number 17 is, okay. I don't know. We discussed this once in Shar Avodas Elokim, and one woman who was there said, no way, this is impossible, this is wrong. And she came back the next week, she said she tried it for 2 days, and it's the most wonderful thing in the world. The Chayvus HaLavus wants us to be a little less social. He says it's okay to be yourself with your thoughts. I know I'm talking to women now, please forgive me. You don't have to always be yapping and talking, and it just gets you into trouble. The more you talk, you're just gonna, you'll end up saying a sheker, or you'll end up talking lashon hara, or you'll end up covering up for something. You don't have to talk so much. He says in Shara Avodas Elokim, and you give solitude. He's making a plug for being a breslava. He's making a plug for his bodidus. He's saying his bodidus is a wonderful thing. Be alone. You don't always have to be relating to someone else. It's not good. Be introspective. Think, be yourself. Think about who you are. When you talk to someone, you always... there's always a dynamic going on, and you have to answer. They ask you. He says, solitude. Be introspective about the value of solitude and seclusion. Yeah. Now, we learned in Shara Avodas Elokim when he extols it, seclusion doesn't have to mean you go to the Jerusalem forest. And, you know, he wants us to develop the koach to be by a wedding. And everybody's talking and yapping and dancing. And okay, maybe it's not a good example. We have a mitzvah, simchas kasam kala, so maybe that's a bad example. But he wants you to be surrounded. Ultimately, he wants you to be able to be surrounded by people, but be alone with your thoughts. You don't have to be part of the scene. And to realize that so much of our lives is taken up by he said, she said, this one did, this one's doing. It's a lot of unnecessary stuff going on. And again, try it. He says in Shaar Avodas Elokim that a person should do everything in moderation except for two things. One is sleep, and sleep is little. Sleep is overdue, not sleeping. Obviously not to the point of being unhealthy. I hope it's obvious. He would never suggest that. But don't be moderate about not sleeping and talking. Sleeping, talking. He says do as little as possible. Everything else do in moderation. So take that for what it's worth. But if you find a good friend, not a good friend, but a good friend, someone you learn from, someone that brings out the best in you, someone that teaches you, then latch on to them and hang around them as much as you can. I say l'charav, that's wonderful. Then you don't have to worry about solitude. If you find, again, not a good friend, but a good person to latch on to, that I'm not talking about that, he says. Again, it's an arichos, and he explains it and discusses it. Number 18 is think about, he says, we're so arrogant. People are so arrogant. He says, look at a flower, look at any part of nature, and in a certain sense, it's so much on a higher madrega than a human being. We are so frail, we are so subject to mishigasin, we are so subject to illnesses, and we need this, and we have so many extraneous needs. And just think about in the pecking order of the universe, if the person is a frail creature, or any part of nature, any kochav, any star, any blade of grass is there and doing what it's supposed to do, and is doing the Ratzon Hashem. But he says, and then say, but Hashem chose me, this frail, weak human being, to be in charge of the universe. And now the universe depends on me, right? If you know a little Nefesh HaChayim, you know that that's not just true about building bridges and building houses and, inventing things and Tikkun Olam, as it's called nowadays, but it's true about the Ruchnius of the universe. And we, and it's just, wow. He says, think about the frailty of man, how it compares to other things in the universe, and then be totally just blown away by that Hashem chose us to do and to accomplish, and the whole universe is depending on us. And then he says, so on one hand we'll be saved from Gaiva. This is like, we'll be saved from Gaiva because Me'ayim Basa, right? Me'ayim Basa, Mitipas Rucha. And what are we? We're subject to so many frailties. And on the other hand, we have a responsibility to do, and Hashem has gifted us that He put us in charge, and we could shape nature and form nature, and we're in charge of nature with all our frailties, with all of our weaknesses. We are in charge of the universe. Number 19, this is like so typical. If people here are familiar with Rabbi Avigdor Miller's writings and tapes, this is like straight. Maybe Rabbi Avigdor Miller learned Chavos Halevavos, what do you know? I'm joking. The Sefer never left his side. It's well known. I got into it thanks to him, after his Patira, ironically. Number 19 is to think about all the misfortunes of the world and all the problems in the world and how you don't have them. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm not blind. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm able to walk. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm able to think. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm not perfect, Hashem, and still you allow me to breathe and to think and to have a house and to be married and to have children, and thank you. Think of the misfortunes of the world Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal used to say, you know, you go in the street and you see someone, like, you know, with all Chas V'Shalom, an amputee, you see someone, use it in Avodas Hashem. Say, I have two arms. Wow, thank you. That person has to thank Hashem that he has one arm, or that he's alive, right? There's no end. That's number 19. What?
What do you do when you get to your misfortune?
What?
What do you do when you get to your misfortune or something that's really
bad? You thank Hashem that you're alive and you are able to deal with it and you have people helping you deal with it and all the other gifts in your life, and if you have to, you thank Hashem that it's an avoda. It's focus on pokei achivrim and malbish arumim, and that you still have a house over, you have a roof over your head, and there's food on the table, and this is a nesoyon, and this is to bring out the best in me, and Hashem is a meitiv. I'm giving you what deserves a 2-hour answer into a few seconds, so you'll have to forgive me for that. You know, the fella that's from, and he wrote a book, two books, just by blinking his eye, he's totally paralyzed. No, a Jew, a Yid, a from Yid, he blinks his eye and then he's hooked up to a machine, and he wrote two books, and you know, and he's thanking Hashem for that. So, but that doesn't fully answer your question. Every person has tons and tons of things to be grateful for despite their misfortunes. It doesn't fully answer your question. How do I deal with my misfortune? How do I feel about that? Do I resent Hashem? Am I angry at Hashem? Because I do have this problem. The other person doesn't have this problem. First of all, the other person has their problem. That's first of all. But that's already another... I'm not sure what your question is coming from. You do have to develop the sense that Hashem is a meitiv. If we don't believe Hashem is a meitiv, then it's very, very hard. If we think Hashem is... I don't know what to say. If we don't realize, and that's why the first sha'ar, the first sha'ar after you believe that there's a Hashem, which is sha'ar ha'yichud, is sha'ar ha'bechina, which is develop the ability to realize that everything in the world is because Hashem loves us and Hashem is chmalei chesed and he's meitiv to us. And when you realize that every step you take has tens, maybe hundreds of miracles. And Shaar HaBechina, we're in the middle of learning Shaar HaBechina, he says, what a miracle it is that parents love their children. He says, if it wouldn't be for that miracle, who would bother? You know what kids are? Oh my goodness, throw them out of the house. What do I need this in my life for? And the love that parents have for children is a nace. It's a nace. It's a nace. And there's nisim every minute, and the neck swivels is a nace. And Ashayotzar is a nace, and the sun is a nace. And if you do Shaar HaBechina properly, the Chavis HaLoda says he put it second, because the next step after realizing that there's a Hashem in the world, because if you don't have that, then nothing is going to come after that. But after you're convinced that there's a Ribono Shel Olam in the world, Yeah, you have to be convinced that he's a meitiv. And Shaar HaBechina trains you how to do that, how to realize that he's a meitiv. And once you're convinced that Hashem is a meitiv, then you take misfortune and you say, I know Hashem's a meitiv. So, okay. It's a paradigm shift. Now, so you look at it in the different ways that the Sforim talk about. The Chavis HaLoavos himself talks about Tzadik V'Ralo, meaning the problems people have, at length in Shaar HaBitachon. He digresses from Bitachon. He sort of, like, you know, he makes a digression, and he says, I have to discuss now what happens if things are not going the way you would like them to go, and it's, you're seemingly overwhelmed by problems. What does that mean? How do you deal with that? What are you supposed to think about? And again, you know, he has a couple of pages on that, on how to deal with that. But the point is that Hashem is a meitiv. But the larger point, perhaps, is that you're still going to say pokeach ivrim, and you're still going to say Malbush Arumim, and you're still going to say Matar Asurim, and you're still going to say Somim, right? All the things are in Shmona Esrei, right? And you're still a Jew, and you're still alive, and you're aware that you're Jewish, and you're aware of Hashem. Think how many people in the universe are not aware of Hashem. Think how many people your age are dead, and you're alive. Plenty of people, that's what we just learned now. Okay, I have to move on. I didn't do justice to your question. I did the best I could in the limited amount of time. Number 20 is to think about the things you have and to realize it doesn't really belong to you, and you're really Hashem's, you're in charge of the treasury, and you're spending Hashem's money, not your own, so think what you're going to do with it. Number 21 is realize that your knowledge of Hashem is going to develop. And he compares it to learning any craft or any science or math. He says you don't start learning theoretical geometry. You don't start with that. You start with the practical stuff. You start with, he says, Euclidean geometry, and you start with a pile, what you can grasp and what you could use, and those are the mitzvahs we have. And as you move on in life, you're going to understand more and more, and you're going to be able to delve into it deeper and deeper, and ultimately you'll be learning theoretical physics, and you'll understand what lies behind, what lies behind everything that we use in everyday life. But there's such a depth there. He says every science is like that. Everything is Chachmas Hashem, by the way. There's no such thing as secular knowledge. Every knowledge is from Hashem. Every discipline is from Hashem. That's why Torah is so utterly amazing, because everything is from Hashem, and everything is Chachmas Hashem. And when I know math and science and any discipline, physics or anything, the Chovetz Chabad says explicitly, we learned in Shaar HaBechina, I'm knowing Hashem. But there's something even higher than that, and that's knowing Hashem directly, getting into his kishkes, seeing him in action. That's Torah. Okay, but he says you have to. It's going to build up. You're not going to start off understanding the secrets of the universe. Rabbi, what's the meaning of life? But I have to catch a bus in 45 seconds, so do me a favor and make it quick. Right? You're going to start off just doing the mitzvahs and learning a little about it, and then you're going to grow and grow and grow. So this is number 21, is to realize that that's how it works. You do the physical mitzvahs, and you gain a little knowledge, and then you study a little more, and you gain insight, and until you reach a madrega, theoretical physics, and the higher madrega. That's number 21. Number 22 is very fascinating. He says, think about Tikkun Olam, what nowadays is called Tikkun Olam. I happen to hate the word, but I'll use it so you'll know what I'm talking about. Think about the world and how all the people in the world are supposed to be there for bettering the world, and realize that you're partners with everyone else, and develop your Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. You're all partners in working on this great creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. That's number 22. He says, the problem with the world when things are difficult is because it's like people on a trip, and everyone has their own animal to take care of. Everyone is like into themselves. They're going to pitch their tent, and they're going to make a fire, and they're going to take care of their animal. It's going to be such a slow trip and so fraught with difficulties. But if everybody pitches in and feels like they're part of a team, and everybody works together, then it's going to go. So that's, the world is like that. And you should look for people who share your interests and your values and get good friends, right? That's what he mentioned by the solitude one. He said, but if you have a good friend, hang on to them. But don't tell anybody your secrets. Everybody will turn against you at some point in your life. No, he doesn't say that. I'm saying that. Be careful who you tell your secrets to. Even if you have a best friend and everything, be careful what you tell them. It's just, he throws in a word of caution. Okay, number 23 is sort of Shar HaBechina, to just study everything in the world. In Shar HaBechina, he splits the world up into seven disciplines, whether it's astronomy and zoology and plant life and history, and just study these things. That's number 23. Oh, number 24 is very depressing. Number 24 says, think about, why do I understand the Pasuk in Chumash the same way I did 10 years ago? Haven't I become more intelligent? Why am I davening the same way I davened 5 years ago? Oh my goodness, I grew. I steigned. I got more intelligent. I'm capable of understanding more now. He says, you have to be introspective and demand from yourself that you don't just rely on past knowledge when you could be doing so much more now. That's the key. You could be understanding so much more. Don't be satisfied with what you learned, let's say about tshuva. Don't be satisfied with the davening that you're doing now when you first started learning Pirish HaMilos. Or I could say to myself, you know, I read a pasuk now, I say, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'ladetecha me'beis avicha. Oh my goodness, I'm understanding it the same way I did when I was in third grade. That's terrible. There's a Ramban and Or HaChaim. There's so much. It's Torah. I mean, there's so much there. I'm davening. You know, I'm happy if I have Pirish HaMilos. Oh my goodness. You go into a store, a Sfarim store, and like, somebody's Sfarim, there's such depth in davening. And so, again, do we have time? He wants you to be introspective. Don't be satisfied. Don't settle for what was the epitome of your knowledge 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And don't think that you can't do better. You hear that? Don't think that, okay, this is what it is. You know, it's not true. Study, learn, do your best, and you'll see that you'll develop deeper and deeper ideas and thinkings. Number 25 is... get out. Look, everybody's free to leave, and I just want to finish up because there's 30 things. Number 25 is to think about, what do you love more, Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba? Meaning, is Olam Haba in reality, a reality to you, or is just some sort of prize that like parents promise their kids a prize and they never give it to them? Oh, yeah, okay. That's number 25. I'm not doing it justice. Number 26 is, do you really have Yiras HaOnesh? Think about that. Am I afraid that Hashem is going to punish me? And I know that's not politically correct nowadays, but no one talks about loving Hashem and Hashem loving you more than the Chayvus Halvavus. But there is a concept called Yiras HaOnesh, Yiras Elokim, and it keeps us honest. And Hashem says to Avram Avinu, at the epitome of the manifestation of His love by the Akedah, He says, Ato yadati ki yirei Elokim ato. Because if the love is not, and this is subject for a parenting class, if the love does not have an undercurrent of fear, it's not good. It's a rav in Pirkei Avos, that an ohev can become, right? If the kid's not scared, no matter how much a kid loves school and loves learning, if he's not afraid that if he steps over the line he'll get thrown out of school, it's a different experience. He's not the same. He doesn't have the natural gvul. Anyway, this is number 27, and if you're not comfortable with it, let's talk about it. Or maybe we should learn it, because we're not really learning it. 26. Number 28. 27. Whoops, I'm sorry. Number 27 is what we just talked about. When something happens to you, think about it. Think what's happening. Why is Hashem doing this to me? There are many answers, and they're not just answers, they're reality. Hashem does things for our neshamos. He wants Hashem cares about our neshama. You know, that's we are not our guf. We are not our house. We are not our who are we? Who are you? You're not your guf. You're neshama. So if Hashem cares about you and created you, then he cares about your neshama. And the things that happen in life usually are always for the betterment of your neshama in different ways. It might be what we call a kapara, for averus. It might be a nisayon. It might be an opportunity to grow from it. It's always exactly what your neshama needs. That's number 27, is think about when things are not going the way you would like them to go. David HaMelech is extolled, and so many psukim he brings down from Tehillim, that David HaMelech was very expressive of this type of thinking. Number 28, is, it's like a different thing. It's very interesting. It's, you know, sometimes people do things and they give a lot of stucco and then they get messed up. They say, how can Hashem do this to me? It's like a deeper of 27. But it's such a human, it happens, and he wants us to think about it separately. I gave stucco, like, and now the stock market goes down and I lost my money? After I gave all that stucco, I decided I'm going to wake up an hour earlier every morning and learn, and now I get sick. And sometimes that happens, and you have to search. He doesn't want us to run away from the questioning. He wants us to search for the answer. Number 29 is to spend time thinking about the superiority of the neshama over the guf. It's eternal, it doesn't get sick, it's a chelek eloka, it's part of Hashem. Realize you have a neshama and think about that. And number 30 is to think that you don't belong in this world. It's like you're in Israel and you don't really understand the language. And I, you know, no matter how long, I'm thinking about myself now, no matter how long I'll be here, I don't see it changing. I feel like a stranger. I want to be back in Muncie, where I feel at home. Here I'm a stranger. I'm talking about the country. I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael. And he says, access that feeling that you're in a shame, and you don't really understand the signs, and you don't really belong here. And in an unguarded moment, I could be at 15 years, and I talk about going home to, you know, back to Muncie. I don't say to Yerushalayim, I say to Muncie. And that's what you are in Olam Hazeh. You're a stranger. The neshama really does. The neshama feels so weird. What am I doing here? I don't understand the language. These people have different values. These people have different ideas. They're nuts. You know what we think of Israelis? Right? They're nuts. Look at this. Look what my goof is busy with the whole day. Get me out of here. Help. That's what the neshama feels like, a stranger in a strange land. That's number 30. Think about it. Write a play. Make believe the neshama is an immigrant. When it gets born, it's an immigrant that goes to a foreign country, and it just doesn't get it. Why is everybody doing all these crazy things? Like, am I missing something? So think about that. That's number 30. Thank you for...
Oh, no. Yeah, I didn't think we did 11 either.
Oh, my goodness.
11 and 14.
I hate people that count.
Fourteen
is to reciprocate Hashem's love for you. Think of Hashem as a good friend that loves you and took care of you and showered you with favors.
No, 14. 11
is
11. No, we did the others.
No, 13 is to use your potential.
So 11
I thought we did last time. That's why I started from 12 today. Oh my goodness. I can tell you to come back to me when you run out of things to think about, and I'll tell you how to do 11. No, but Lishlemus or Inyan. Wait, 9. Wait, I have 9. I don't know. Do you have the safer? I'm not.
Bring a daily personal counting of the service you owe God.
Oh, 10. What didn't we do?
11.
Yeah, we didn't do this. 11. 11, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to depress everybody.
More than you already did.
I'm telling you, everything that you think of the Chavis HaLavis is depressing is meant to be inspiring and to and to make us and to empower us. We're empowered now. Number 11, I didn't do, is to be honest with yourself and to think about if most of your day is spent in the service of Hashem or in the service of yourself. You're lucky. I say Shelo Asani Ish every day. I mean, Shelo Asani Kiritsono. Really, I feel a man has it much tougher than a woman. That's what I feel like. A woman, your whole life is like, is doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, a man, it's tougher. A man has it also, even if he goes to work. If he goes to work, it's so easy to turn it around and say, I'm going to work because that's what Hashem wants me to do. That's what the Chavis HaLavis says many times throughout the Sefer. You can turn your whole life around by having the right lathe, by having the right thoughts. Okay, thank you for coming and for putting up with me. Mrs. Manners, thank you. The Shurim Wala Ilu Nishmas. Mrs. Schaefer, I'm sorry, I have to write it down. Chaim Ephraim, Reb Nosson, and Mrs. Schaefer graciously has been mevater on what halachically is her right to insist that the Sunday Shir continue in her house, but she has graciously agreed that she feels it will be better for the Shir if it's in the shul, and that should be an extra sechus for the neshama. And so we're going to continue the next year. So we learn every Sundays and Wednesdays. Wednesdays we're learning Shair Yichud HaMaiser. We're in the middle of a perek that teaches us how to cope with different things the Yetzer Hara throws our way.
Upstairs.
Yeah, it'll always be upstairs, and unless we get such a crowd, always. That's Wednesday, and we are not learning the Wednesday after Sukkot. So the next year will be the next time. Although this year for women will be on a Sunday following Sukkot, like 6 days after the Monday, which is the last day of Sukkot, and we'll be going back to Shar HaBechina and appreciating Hashem's kindness and goodness. Thank you very, very much. I got so much out of this.
Okay. Shiloh.
Yeah.
Somebody left an art scroll of Masa from the paper in my house years ago.
When? Yeah.
And I keep putting Kana Brandwine. You know the name? Funny. I keep putting it on the list. Nobody responds. In fact, somebody said, don't do that, or whatever. Now, my question is this.
It's just nobody, a name. No address.
Nothing.
If you go into Shemesh phone, nothing comes up?
No, it's a girl from seminary, I'm sure, who stayed by my house. And I keep putting it on.
Okay.
My Shiloh is this. I have...
This is what you do. I'm going to tell you what to do.
But I mean, the question is that right immediately, I have my granddaughter coming and she wants
I'm
to use
tell
it.
You what to do now.
Sorry,
you're
sorry.
Go home.
Yes.
You're going to either put cash or a check of the value of the matzah into an envelope. Mm-hmm. And you're going to write on the envelope, this belongs to someone named Brandwine. And you're going to put it somewhere in your house till Eliyahu Hanavi comes.
Okay.
And then you'll use the matzah.
Ah, what if she comes by? What if she comes up someday?
Say, the rabbi told me here, this is your money.
The money, or should I give it back to Mark? You'll
decide that.
Okay, thank you.
But you have to write on the envelope. Now, if you want to write a check, it's allowed. But then you have to remember, it's not a joke, it's real.
Right.
That every 3-4 months, whenever a check expires,
you have to write a new one.
You have to write a new one. It has to be real. It's amazing.
when I started it, and I had that one session 1 week. You know, because the ideas are so strong.
This is your content. Can't hear it enough.
When are you going to start
seeing the ones you have this year?
I just have this to give you before I forget.
Oh.
Okay, because otherwise I won't see you again. I spoke to the Mashkir, so we're getting a Mahfoud Mashkir.
For the affair.
For the affair, who's going to be there, is going to be there physically and give us a
Shudar. That was what
Maria,
That's what I mean.
And that he should be there.
Yes, well, he needs to. To give the Tudah for the affair, he would have to be there. That's wonderful. That's the highest level.
They're arranging that. So interesting that they're
doing that. Yeah, you did this can, and
right. They're doing it.
Now make sure you have a nice gown.
She will.
Make sure you have a band. A lovely place.
I was
taken aback. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Lovely place.
Gorgeous. I wanted to tell you, Rob, that I'm voting that you had a class for Sharpie Cole.
On Tuesday.
It's so foundational for women.
Tuesday.
I need to know that.
How many would come?
I need to know that at least 10 women will say they'll come.
Okay.
I understand that.
So that's around the sheet.
I don't think it'll have 10 come, but I need 10 to say that. I can't get enough of Sharpie.
No, I started halfway through and trying to do it by the MP3 on downloads. You can't. It's not the same as sitting in a class.
I love it.
Uh-huh. All right, so.
Yeah.
you know, it's hard. You can't just remind our shoppers to chip in. And then when are you going to chip in? When is it going to happen? So we have to find a way of how it's going to work.
Let me ask the person.
What she wants to do. Fine. But if she would like to just have it bought, or she'd like to buy it herself, we can find it.
Well, okay. Cindy, I wanted to ask you, because you take really good notes. Do you remember one time you mentioned a book? We were talking, I think we were talking about, it was either like, how do you prove Hashem exists? I think that's what we were talking about.
Right.
And he said there is a book.
And he can learn what that book
was. With all, yeah, the whole book and all.
Right, right, right.
That proves it. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I asked him.
Thank you.
come on the book then?
Yeah. No. Go there if you want to go with this. You're going to go with it. You're going to go with it.
I'm going to go to the house.